Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is the founder and owner of the Fanboy Factor website and our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. Brian, you brought something to my attention earlier in the week
that
I think we should start this off, this show off with. It's very interesting. It wasn't so much an article, but a Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Kevin Dorkin from Milk and Cheese, his Twitter feed.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually pointed that out to me. That's how I found out about it.
Well, the story goes that Evan was at the Heroes Con, right?
Right.
And he had his daughter there.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get Don Rosa, the artist from, was he just on Donald Duck or was he over on all of Disney's properties?
He was mainly on the Duck ones, mainly Scrooge McDuck. He pretty much took over the book after the original artist. Can't think of his name right now. He's done it for years.
Yeah, years.
Since the 50s.
You know, and he's not doing it any longer.
No.
No.
No, he's not doing it. He pretty much took over for Carl Barks. Who used to draw it.
So as Evan was saying on his Twitter feed that he's at this con, mm-hmm. he's there as a guest, as an artist.
Right.
And he takes his daughter over to have her boots signed by Don Rosa.
Right.
What does Don Rosa do?
He defaces them.
Not only defaces them, but he crosses out the Disney logo, right?
Yeah.
And what else did he do? He did something else.
Just drew all over it.
Over a 9-year-old's boots.
And plus the comic book she had, which was pretty valuable from what I understand.
Unbelievable. So what's Don's story? Do you know? Is he just...
He's one of the older guys. He seems to be a little bit bitter. I mean, he used to... His deal is, you know, he's not drawing anymore because his eyesight pretty much went and he just couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
But he was also a little pissed off about the low pay.
Yep.
As, you know, as a lot of artists. And then never getting royalties for when his stuff was compiled into trades or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this is not the first time I come across, you know, someone who's worked on a book who's, you know, a little bitter about the fact that they're not getting residuals for their trade. But to just do such a dick move and deface this person, you know, this girl's stuff.
And he had to know that he might not have giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
He may not have known Evan Dorkin on site, but he must have known that he was at least a guest at the con, or he was an artist at the con.
No, if not even.
I'm sure Evan probably somebody around Evan knew he was Evan Dorkin, creator of Milk and Cheese.
Right.
And I'm just saying, for Don to do that, neither one of us know Don Rosa, so who knows what his motivation is.
But he's also had to know this is the, you know, the it's a freaking intelligent age.
Yeah.
You know, social media is everywhere. You do crap like this, it's gonna blow up everywhere.
Yeah.
And
to your point, you before we started, you said you're really surprised that it hasn't blown up more than it has.
Yeah, it's, you know damn well if it was one of the big two that it happened with.
Yeah.
You'd hear it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. But a lot of the so-called bigger names just don't want to carry this story for some reason. They don't find it that big of a deal. But we're talking a freaking Disney artist here.
And here's the other thing. He's at that con to sign these things. It's not like Evan was on the street, saw him, and shoved these things in his face.
Right.
He's at that convention to meet people. He's there signing comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I didn't see his booth or his table, but I'm pretty sure he probably had some Donald Duck stuff there, Scrooge McDuck stuff there to sign.
Oh, damn straight.
So to do that, I don't know. Could you just, how infuriated would you be if he did that? Especially, you know, if you or I were there, I mean, it's not right if he does it to anybody, you or I, we are just fans and we go up and he does it, we would be angry.
Oh God, I think I'd lose it personally. I kind of experienced something. I mean, I get the point where, you know, being a little, I get the bitterness. Don't get me wrong. I understand where he's coming from, but that does not justify defiling somebody else's possession.
Then you should not be at that con. Yeah, or you should just stay at home.
Years ago, I ran into Jim Stravanko, and I had a trade paperback of his Shield stuff that I wanted him to sign. Mm-hmm. He looked at it, and he was very, you know, I could see he was a little bitter, but he was very nice. He goes, "I'm sorry, I cannot sign this one. Marvel is not giving me any. Did not ask me for my approval to reprint these stories." I thanked him very much. I go, I'm sorry if I insulted you, but I do appreciate it. Thank you. And I'm still, you know, I'm a huge fan of your work. And he was such a nice guy about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, I could see, you know, he was pissed off. After that, Marvel wisened up. And, you know, now that, you know, Steranko's his name is like blatantly on the same trade paperback.
Yeah.
When they re-released it. So he'll sign those. But the one I had, you know, so I understand the bitterness, but it's just, you don't do crap like that.
No, and you know what? It was very magnanimous how he handled it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that was at a con?
That was at a con.
Yeah, that's cool. He, like you said, he's angry about it, but he didn't take that anger or frustration out on you.
No.
Yeah, that's cool. No, this clearly is.
This is just.
It's a shame.
It's just messed up.
It's wrong.
You don't pull stuff like that. He didn't create anything in these stories. These are characters that he's just drawn.
Right.
This is like you get your Alex Ross drawing the Justice League, and it's the same type of principle where he's an artist for hire. It's one thing if you're the creator, I can understand that, but he was just a freaking artist.
Yeah.
And so that makes his ego like huge. And it's such a dick move.
Maybe he just had a bad day.
Yeah, but still.
I have a bad day at home.
Yeah, but still, you don't do that. Dorkin's daughter's only 9. You don't pull that nonsense out, you know, especially in a con in front of everybody.
Everybody. Ugh. Hey, I want to bring up something else. It's similar in the same vein about creators and stuff like that. Did you see that? Is it the Schuster family is asking the judge to leave the case open about Superman?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because I don't know what book. I was just reading another book, a Superman comic. You know what? I have the book right here. It's in the new Superman book with Romita and Jeff Johns. Let me find this line. We'll play some page-turning music. it's an important line, though. Okay, here it is. The credit is, it's 4 pages into the new comic, and it says Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. And underneath, it says, by special arrangement with the Jerry Siegel family. I thought that was interesting. Now, I saw that the Shuster family is doing something, is asking the court to open up the case, to keep it open. Why doesn't DC do whatever they got to do?
I can understand why Johns did this. You got to remember what Johns' background is. Johns was pretty much an intern on Donner's Superman film.
We're talking Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns, yes. Okay. So he was, you know, he pretty much was a PA on Donner's film.
Okay.
So, and at the time that movie was being shot, Siegel and Schuster were both living in extreme poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It took Neil Adams to go to bat for them to get them money.
Right.
From the company. So I can kind of understand where Johns is coming from, why he might have wanted to put that in there.
It's interesting. I don't have any problem with it.
No, I don't either.
I don't have any problem with any of this. I'm just curious, why doesn't DC just, they signed a contract however many years ago selling Superman. Like you said, they lived in poverty. You know what? To get these people off your back, just, if they're looking for credit, if they're looking for money, I don't understand the mentality of letting this drag through the court.
And then you got stuff on the Marvel side, too.
What's that? Oh,
Kirby's family.
yes.
And that's going to be going to the Supreme Court.
I don't understand it.
It's.
Why not just pay these people? I'm not saying if they're holding you ransom, if they want $50 billion, you don't give them $50 billion. That I get. But
Right.
if they're looking for credit for their family or looking for some money just to make, again, I don't know the particulars.
Well, that's the problem right there.
That I
We're
don't know
not
the
being,
particulars?
well,
Yeah.
it's, yeah,
That's true.
that we're not being told exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah.
We're just told that they're suing because they, for royalties. How much royalties? Well, are they asking? Are they, you know, being ridiculous about it? Are they just, you know, are they being scumbags and trying to ask for, you know, X more amount of money? It's just, we don't know what's going on.
It's a very good point. And I'm always on the side of the families because look, these guys got raked over the coals,
Oh,
whether
yeah.
they sold Superman to National for they signed a contract, whatever it is, it's just doing the right thing. And
Right.
corporations have a track record for not doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I always take the side of the little guy.
And
And you're
especially.
right, absolutely. They could be saying we want $60 million and that in the no budging. And
Yeah.
if that's the case, then everything that I just said is stupid. However, I mean, listen, this is one of their biggest properties. DC's top three, Trinity, make this thing go away.
Yeah.
It's years. And it's the same thing on the Kirby side, on the Marvel side with Kirby.
Well, now, you know, now the Kirby thing is going to get even worse because now you got Disney involved. And you don't want to piss off the mouse.
And the thing is, it's historically, Marvel is very cheap.
There's been a lot of people that back up Kirby's claim that Stan Lee was pretty much just a barker, you know, like a carnival barker, where he really didn't have so much input as he likes to make it out to seem. I've heard things from, you know, other people who've been in the business same amount of time. Same thing from Steve Ditko, who did Doctor Strange and of course Spider-Man.
How do you feel about that? About Stan Lee being the face of all these creators?
I think he should share it, especially with Kirby, but Ditko's a little weird. Ditko's a recluse. It's he's pretty much you wouldn't know this guy if you bumped into him on the street. It's just he's still alive somewhere in New York City, and he just really got into different philosophies and things like that, and came out in his comics, starting with, you know, when he created the Question, then another character called Mr. A, and it's just very weird, you know.
Out there.
Yeah, it's just nothing is very black and white type of things. So this is not a guy that he's a little out there. He comes out of the shit out every once in a while, but it takes a whole hell of a lot.
Well, he's got to be as old as Stan Lee. Stan Lee's in his 90s.
Yeah.
See, here's my feeling on it. I go back and forth about it. Stan Lee at this point, I'm sure his, for lack of a better word, corporation is being run by somebody else. I don't think Stan Lee is running his day-to-day life. So Stan Lee, what I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm pretty sure Stan Lee probably has handlers.
Yeah. Oh,
And I don't think it's right that he gets all the credit. People think he invented all of these heroes, and he didn't.
well, while he may not invented all those heroes, he did put Marvel on the face by being the showman.
Yes, and that's the other my other hand on this. He really was the huckster, man. He
Yeah.
put it out there. He, if nothing else, he marketed the hell out of all of these heroes that he may or may not have had a hand in.
I mean, he
So
was.
I am not saying in any way that Stan Lee doesn't deserve whatever credit.
Yeah. I mean, he was
And
one of.
then to your point, what are they going to do? Are they going to drag these other people out? If they're still alive, just like you just said, Steve Ditko, who's probably as old as Stan Lee. I don't know. It's just weird that he, for lack of a better word, gets all the credit. It's not a big deal, but people really think that he is Marvel.
Well, he is the face of Marvel. That's the thing. I mean, any way you want to split hairs on that, I mean, technically he is the face of Marvel.
Yeah, that it's true.
I
It's true.
mean, you think of Marvel, you think of him, but it's just you know, like your point, it's, you know, he is the huckster, and you know, he was the one who came up with, developed the letters column that was never seen before in comic books. Everybody had a nickname, you know, Jazzy John, Remote, Romita, all kinds of weird nicknames. But it's just like, you know, he does have a place in comic history.
I'm not saying that at all.
But the question is in the creation of the character, how much of a place does he have?
And listen, in the grand scheme of things, does it really matter? I mean, it's kind of cool that Marvel does have this guy. He's still alive. He's 91. He's in their movies. He is their connection to the history. So in that essence, it is kind of cool. Actually, now that we're talking about this, we could probably segue into this article that I sent over to you. It was by Chris Sims from Comic Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
It got picked up by Business Insider.
Of all places, that was a weird.
I know, wasn't that kind of weird?
It was like, okay.
The article's called "Here's the Fundamental Problem with DC." It's a really long article. It's a long article, but it's an excellent read.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, DC has always been playing catch up to Marvel.
Right.
And the segue is, getting back to your point, what Stan Lee was doing in the letters column was he was antagonizing DC.
Yeah.
In his letters column, he was antagonizing. You see, this part of the history is before my time. I am old, but I'm not that old. that Stan Lee part, you're talking late 60s, it's before my time, so I really don't know all that much.
See, it was going on a little in the early 70s, too, with the little digs and things.
Dude,
and
it's still before my time.
But it was just, it's so funny because DC, in Marvel terms, you know, morphed into distinguished competitor.
Yes. And DC, what I find so funny about it, and this article says as much, DC is invented the superhero.
Yeah.
And for years, they ruled the superhero landscape through the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. They either put comic book companies out of business or they bought them.
Yeah.
And they homogenized them until Marvel came along.
Look at something like Quality, the Blackhawks, the Ray, the Black Condor, creations by Will Eisner. It was a company he started. He didn't want it to be bought out. He sold his shares, and that's when he started doing the Spirit as a newspaper insert. This guy was ahead of his time. As I get off track.
No, but I get your point. Captain Marvel, who was the company behind that? It's on the tip of my tongue. What's the name of that company? God damn, I hate when I do this to myself.
Can't remember the name of the company, but it's just...
But you know the story. DC went after and it'll come to me when we're done this. DC was going after Fawcett.
Fawcett, yeah. I've read several things about this case, and they do have a point. Look at both their covers, Superman 1, or Action Comics 1, and where Captain Marvel first appeared. They're both smashing cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're both lifting cars and smashing them. And they weren't the only ones that ended up. There was another character that was more of a rip, and this is pre-Marvel. A character named Wonder Man.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wonder Man's still around.
No, this is pre-Marvel. This is... This is not the same guy. This is like way. And they were pretty... That was almost a direct ripoff. And National just took them down completely, that they had to pack up. You know, the Captain Marvel thing is just... It is so interesting. It's just...
It is interesting. And my point bringing it up wasn't that DC was right or Fawcett was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The point was that they ended up with Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And they would go through, and like I said, they would either grind these other companies to the ground or buy their characters, or both. So Marvel comes along, Fantastic Four.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Stan Lee's out there, the huckster that he is, and he is antagonizing DC. It's us versus them. He's the one who invented that. Thanks, Dan. You're either a DC guy or you're a Marvel guy or a girl in this case. Yeah, so that's all Stan Lee's doing. And since then, Chris Sims in this article is saying that DC has been playing catch up to Marvel. And to his point, in reading this article, it was really interesting because he talks about Crisis and Crisis being DC's way of becoming Marvel. Now, I don't know the behind-the-scenes history of these comics. It's fascinating. And to me, that is, he's right. That is the fundamental problem with DC. DC has the history. They should just walk down their path and say, you know what? I don't give a fuck what Marvel's doing. I don't need a Superman that's broody or moody or any of these things. Superman's the light, and that's, you know what? I don't care if he's cliched, because he's not cliched. They did it. Marvel did it with Captain America. Captain America, he's could be the most cliched hero out there next to Superman. Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America, the most cliched character out there next to Superman. Those movies are awesome. DC should not worry about what Marvel's doing.
It's just like one of the points in the article, after the crisis, mm-hmm. DC was in the way they should be. They were about legacy. And that's one of the things I love. It's just like Crisis cleaned up all the mess of Earth X and Earth 2 and Earth. So everybody's now on the same Earth. Duplicate heroes are pretty much wiped out of existence. And that started the legacy. And as it went on, it was legacy after legacy after legacy. And that's what made DC special. And then the new 52, let's try and mirror Marvel again. But we're going to mirror Marvel like they were in the 80s. Or 90s. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty much going to do 90s Marvel.
It's bizarre.
Why?
I'm with Brian. Why?
And you know, one of the more weird things about this was the part that the writer said about Kirby.
Yes.
They bring Jack
and they,
the
and
King
they put him in a pocket.
Kirby. Yeah.
Yeah.
They put him on goddamn Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
And because they wanted everything to look like current artist Kurt Swan's way, they wouldn't even let him draw Superman.
Yep.
The most asinine thing.
They want to be Marvel so bad, they get Kirby and they put him in a pocket.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They have their own Spider-Man, which just ends up being Firestorm.
Yep.
It's, you know.
And time after time, DC goes after Marvel artists that start off in Marvel. Frank Miller,
mm-hmm.
Daredevil. Comes over to DC. What's he do? Dark Knight.
Dark Knight, yep.
Yep. And they're still doing it. I just pointed out, Romita's doing Superman.
Well, I mean, Jim freaking Lee.
Yep.
Look where he is now.
Yep.
Did, you know, he was just an artist. Started off at Marvel. Started off with the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Started to do X-Men Recognition, did his own thing, had Wildstorm bought out by DC, occasionally doing
a
DC
cover. That was the beginning of it.
Yep. Started to do some of the covers, then all of a sudden he does this Hush storyline, and next thing you know,
that you love.
He's now one of the men in charge there. They try so hard, and every time they got some, you know, it sucks because every time they got something that's away from Marvel, that's their own, they look at Marvel and then they fuck it up.
I don't understand. Why are they so enamored with Marvel? They have, like you just said, they've got the history, they've got the legacy, they cleaned it up with Crisis. Crisis is one of my favorite stories. It's a great thing. It changed everything.
Right.
They rebooted most of their primary heroes right after Crisis, rolled back their powers, which, whatever, it's, you know, okay, it's fine. Regardless, they had a fresh footing, and they could have just went forward from there. And I guess with the New 52 is what they're trying to do again. But what they did, cramming 5 years, they got rid of all of that legacy. And that is what's important to DC.
Right.
Is that legacy.
That's why fans loved DC.
And you know what else I really like about DC and what they do to be like Marvel? I love the multiverse. I think it's great that they have multiple Earths. It's not confusing. And the guy even points it out in the article that you knew when they were talking about Earth 2, they made it perfectly clear in the stories you were on Earth 2. You were reading a story about Earth 2. Or Earth X, whichever Earth they were on. And one of DC's reasonings was it was too confusing. I don't know. I love that there's multiple Earths.
I kind of like it both ways. You know, I do like the multiple Earths, but I also kind of like the crisis thing. You know, the artist did point out, the writer did point out that it's just one of the problems with every time you went to another Earth, they'd always start off explaining the entire damn thing
Right.
again and again and again and again. And it's just like, oh my God, we get it. It's
Yeah.
another Earth.
And then here's another interesting thing, talking about Crisis. When right after Crisis, is it Brian or Byrne? Might be.
Burn.
Yeah,
I've always pronounced it Burn.
I always pronounce their names wrong, so correct me, Brian. He
I
wanted, what's that?
already I've always pronounced Burn.
He wanted to rename the whole company. Like, one of his proposals was to name the company Action Comics. Stuff like that, I think, God, that would have been awesome. Whatever.
You see, the problem is even now we're talking about business, and
I know. Well, that, listen, I understand.
neither you or I are probably like experts on brand rebranding. I mean, all I can say is I tried
Yes,
rebranding a website and I ended up getting my ass burned.
understand.
So, you
Listen, I agree. I understand all that, and you're absolutely right. Rebranding is, it sucks, and especially on that kind of level. But
Yeah.
it goes to my thing where I just like alternate histories. I like Elseworlds. I like reading that kind of stuff. Like, and I think, wow, if they would have done that, I mean, how bold of a move that would have been for DC to rename themselves Action Comics, and where would we be today? It's just cool. It's cool to think about. So, well, there's no smoking Constantine.
Nope, he don't smoke no more.
Why is that such a big deal?
First off, it's NBC. I mean, it's most of their shows, you don't have a lot of people smoking. And I think they're trying to get like a family audience, which is must has to be one of the most asinine things
Is
ever.
that really, I mean, of all the problems that are going on in the world, one character smoking, is it really that big of a deal?
Well, let's ask Marvel, because here we go again.
Yes, I was gonna ask you.
DC copying Marvel.
Yep. No smoking in Marvel Comics.
But it's okay to rape, pillage, and murder
What
people.
it's a You
Awesome.
know what? That is an excellent point. Why is that trope so such a Why do they always go back to that whole rape thing?
I don't
It's
know.
like the lowest common denominator or the easiest out. But you're right. So they'll do that, but Wolverine, God forbid, he smoke a cigar. It's weird, man.
The history behind it is Quesada's father had lung cancer, so he was just like started his own political campaign against smoking. And I'm like, seriously? These
Well,
are.
listen, I appreciate that about his father, but I don't know. Start a cause.
It's like one month they're smoking, next month they're not.
Yeah. Is Wolverine wearing a patch? That is
Don't know.
Wolverine. He smokes cigars.
There's three characters: The Thing, Fury,
Yes, there you go.
and Wolverine.
Fury too.
Yep, they need to have stogies.
It's
And,
just who they are as characters. It's that legacy again, Brian. It's
oh,
the legacy.
but it's funny if you look at any of the Hasbro Nick Fury figures,
Yeah.
his mouth is kind of in a curl position on one end.
So you could stick a cigarette in there,
Cigar, you could
cigar.
make your art and. I did speak to one of the designers once, and they did confirm that.
For real?
For real, they do it on purpose.
Oh, that is awesome. I was just being funny.
No, they did that on purpose. A lot of the designers at Hasbro are fans, so they couldn't stand the fact that he couldn't smoke either. But I mean, going back to this Constantine thing with the
Yeah.
knife, first off, I think it's ridiculous. Second off, it's not a show killer for me. He smokes, he
What?
doesn't smoke. Who
No.
cares?
Right. Listen,
And,
understand. Look, I'm not going to watch a show because he doesn't smoke.
no, I know. I'm not saying you, but there are people out there who are going apeshit about this. It's NBC playing it safe. Here's another thing. It's just like they play it safe for the FCC and the majority Christian groups.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason why you see a lot of shows on some of the not paid cable, but your AMCs and things like that. They'll say fuck shit dick. They censor out goddamn.
Well, you can't have God in there.
That's not one of the seven words that you can't say on television.
Yeah.
That's just pandering to a group now.
Well, listen.
And, and I have a major
Isn't that
problem
kind of
with
what's
that.
going on in our society anymore?
Oh God. That's all
Supreme
that it
Court.
is.
let's not get into that whole thing.
Oh, Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, let's not get into all that. Did you see, speaking of Neil Adams, somebody was interviewing him recently, and did you see his comments about Man of Steel?
No.
Oh my God, I should send you the link. I meant to send it to you. He was saying, somebody asked him what his thoughts on Man of Steel, and he said, he's angry about Superman killing Zod.
Oh, God.
But he said he could have, he brings up a point. He could have put his hands over his eyes real quick, took them off to some other place. But he's really angry about it. We talked about this so many times. Superman had to kill Zod. That's the end of it. I don't have a problem with it.
Dude, I ended up renting Man of Steel, and
Yeah.
I cut out that one scene, and I've been watching it over and over again
Yes.
because it's bugging the crap out of me now. And
Okay.
it's, but
What's your conclusion?
he had to put him down. But
Yeah.
your
Okay.
thing about the heat vision, I don't think that would have, see, it comes back to my mind flashes back to a recent story from Final Crisis. I don't even know why they called it Final Crisis. It was,
Really? Come on.
no, honestly, it had nothing to do with Final Crisis, this storyline. It was Legion of Three Worlds, but they put it under the Final Crisis banner. I don't, it had nothing to do with Final Crisis. The pretty much the story is the insane Superboy from Infinite Crisis was on Crisis on Infinite Earths. He completely loses it. He ends up in the future, starts destroying the future. The Legion has to go back and bring their Superman to stop him. And in one of the scenes, Superman grabs him from behind and puts his hand over his eyes, and Superboy just burns two holes right through Superman's hands. So that's why I don't think that would work.
I guess the point was Neil was saying that he could have came up with some alternative.
There was no alternative.
Listen, you know how I feel about it. You're right. I don't have a
My
problem with
God.
Superman killing Zod. I don't, and I still love Superman even though he killed Zod. In the latest issue of Adventures of Superman, Superman has an interaction with Joker, and
Right.
it's written by Max Landis. And I really like this story. I thought it was a really good story. I took a lot of shit for liking this story. But they go back and forth. Superman goes back and forth with Joker, and he's really, just the interaction's really good. And at one point, Joker says something about Superman doesn't kill, and Superman says, I'm paraphrasing, Batman has a code. I don't. And I don't have a problem with that. You know what? Superman, it's just, he should be the Boy Scout. But you know what? Even with the Boy Scout, I don't have a problem with it. But you got to know they have it in them. Once in a while, you got to let people know that you have it in you to bring down the hammer. I don't
Yeah,
have a problem with him killing Zod. People know that he's got that power.
but that's two different things. That's one thing is like Man of Steel is like he didn't want to have to do it, but he
Yeah,
didn't have a choice.
I
But from what
understand
you
that.
explained, it just seemed like it's just like, okay, you're not a badass there, Superman. You're supposed to be hope. That's what the S stands for, if you want to call it that. I mean, did you see, I mean, what happened in Scott Snyder's Superman
I didn't.
Unchained?
I mean, I saw the panel, but I didn't read the story yet.
It is the most hilarious thing. It is just like
About the
the
symbol
main
that
the
it
main
stands
yeah
for? Yeah.
the main villain is in the
Oh,
Batcave.
Superman Unchained. That's what it
Superman
was.
Unchained, yeah, by
Yeah.
Scott Snyder
Yeah.
and Jim Lee, and Batman is facing off against the villain,
Yeah.
and Superman's symbol comes up on the screen,
Yeah.
and Batman goes, and I quote, "A symbol. It stands. You're about to have your ass kicked." Killer or not, let's face it, Superman's a fighter, but that is just, I need that on a t-shirt. I need to have the S on a t-shirt. If somebody does Redbubble
I
stuff,
was just gonna say, let's go head to
please,
Redbubble.
please make that shirt with the Superman S on underneath. Just put, "It stands, you're about to have your ass kicked for me." Please.
Know what? You know what? I was about to say DC won't do that kind of thing, but what about those couple ads
Oh.
DC's running?
Oh,
So maybe they do that kind of thing. Maybe they will put a
God,
shirt out like that.
what is up with those ads?
Well, I don't know. That I've seen it on the internets. The one that I saw we were talking about was for the new Grayson.
Yeah.
and it's I forget the first line, but it says
Yeah,
something about you don't know Dick.
you don't you think you know Nightwing? You
Yes.
don't know Dick.
Yeah.
Ugh. First off, bad pun.
Yeah.
Second off, okay, are we really gonna go that line?
You know, and honestly, it's a
And
I thought it was pretty funny.
it is
I didn't
funny,
real
but
I thought somebody else made it. I didn't realize it was a DC thing.
I know it looks like something it would somebody would create on DeviantArt or something.
Something I would do.
And then you got the Titans, and they're
Yes.
like,
What's that all about?
they call us weapons, we call them tools.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I've been reading the book. Yeah, they're tools, all right.
Wait, let's not leave Grayson yet. Here's the thing with them doing that. His name is not a name that's in vogue anymore at all. We all know it's a euphemism for the male appendage.
Right.
And they can't change this guy's name. Nobody walks around with the name Dick anymore.
No.
By them doing that, I don't know.
It's
It's they open this door. They should just call him Rich. They can't even call him Rich. They gotta call him Dick.
it's funny because most of the riches I know
Yeah.
should be called dicks.
Oh, God. Yeah, so it was kind of weird that they did that. And what was the other one? What was the third one? There was only stroke.
There's actually two more. Deathstroke was just, keep calm and carry a big sword, and it's got this real Liefeld-like looking. It's
Yes.
just the most ridiculous blade you've ever seen, and it's
Yeah.
just like, really?
I read that Tony Daniels wants a shot at rebooting that.
He is rebooting
He is?
it. He
Okay.
is. It's
Maybe.
Dido confirmed it today.
Yeah,
And
okay.
then they have another one for Damien's return.
Oh, that one's kind of cool, actually.
That is creepy looking. Where it's like Damien's
Yes.
costume with this skull, but it's not a full skull. It looks
Yeah.
very creepy the way they have it, and it says he's back mostly.
Yeah, that one was kind of cool, actually.
This Robin rises.
Yes, that's it. But they're supposed to be all over San Diego.
Yep.
Those ads are running all over. They're getting edgy.
They're getting edgy.
DC's getting edgy.
Well, I'm not too sure if you caught this little interesting factoid about San Diego.
What's that?
Some of the smaller companies like Boom
Yeah.
are starting to release their announcements now because they're getting tired of getting buried.
Probably pretty smart of them, actually.
It is
Get a little bit of coverage.
it's a smart move to do it now
Yeah.
because it's just, everything gets bogged down, Marvel DC, Marvel DC, Marvel DC. Because they're the big two, so everything else, I'm sorry, all Image is
Yeah.
kind of competing, as long as it's Kirkman.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead seems to trump everything else,
Yeah.
but it's pretty much a smart marketing move, I think.
I wonder, since you bring that up, I wonder if more of this independence will stop. I want to say stop going to that, but I wonder if it's worth, like you just said, they're not really getting the coverage while they're there. So why go? I guess you're going for the people that attend. I don't know. I wonder if it is pretty smart.
It's a smart move. I mean, like
Yeah.
one of the announcements they had is the
And they're going to do it like every day up until San Diego. Is that what I saw?
I think so. I mean,
Have an announcement each day.
yesterday they announced that Mark
Mark
Waid
Waid's
is
back.
back. Yep.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Mark Waid was for a while the editor in chief
Yeah.
while he did his own version of Superman.
Irredeemable.
Yeah.
Is he doing
And
that again? Did they
yeah.
say? He
Yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
So that's kind of cool.
He's an interesting guy.
Yeah. Oh, he's a nice guy. He's a great. He's
We should have him
let's
on the show.
try it. That man is the cleanup man. I'm sorry. You got a comic book that's getting effed up in a major way. You call in Mark Waid and he'll fix it. Like,
Fix it, and somebody else he'll leave, and then somebody else will screw it.
oh yeah. But I mean, like, look at Daredevil was going down the crapper. Bring him away. He fixed that. He fixed the Justice League after Morrison left. The man, he's a superb writer. He really is.
So wait a second, is he just back as a writer at Boom, or is he
Yeah.
taking that? Yeah, okay.
No, you don't know who the new editor in chief's going to be?
No. Is there a new energy?
All Lovitz.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Once he's completely done, he's pretty much, he just wrapped his final issue of World's Finest,
Are you
and
for real?
he was the man in charge. And sales-wise, the books weren't doing well. Story-wise, it was some of the best stuff ever to come out of DC. Dido comes in, they remove Levitz as the publisher.
Yeah.
He goes to writer, and where he got his start was the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
So they put him on the book, and the other thing, he also created the Huntress with artist Joe Staton.
Yeah.
So he was doing World's Finest. He also created Power Girl too.
So was it World's Finest his swan song? Like, was it
Maybe.
purposely his swan song?
Pretty much, but I think what really ticked him off is they canceled the Legion.
Yeah.
And there's always been, no matter
There
what
is
the
no
beef with this,
Legion in New 52,
no,
right?
no matter what there was, but no matter what the reboot was, there was always a Legion. Now it's gone completely.
I did not know that he was going to Boom.
He's going boom.
How about that? Was that an announcement or is that common knowledge?
No, that was an announcement many months ago.
Oh, huh.
Old story.
Oh, look at me. I'm timely. Is there any other SDCC news we should know about?
God. No, please check fanboyfactor.com. That's where
Oh,
it's
nice
coming.
plug.
Thank you.
Very nice plug.
I mean, there's a lot of exclusive stuff.
Yeah, it's mostly exclusives right now.
Programming and exclusives are the main things that are going on. Warner's going to be having a big thing with their TV shows.
Yeah, I heard something 16 properties they're announcing,
Yep.
quote unquote announcing at San Diego.
Yep, and people are also going to get a chance to view the 66 Batman upcoming the Blu-ray.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you. Wow, you're
Woo!
excited.
Can't believe I'm missing that, Brian. Damn.
Pass.
Listen, I love the Batmobile on that show. It is that's one of the definitive Batmobiles.
Oh
That's
yeah,
up
that
there.
is.
That's my number
That's.
two Batmobile.
Well, I think it's the one that's the most iconic, I gotta think.
Yeah.
The only other ones that come to mind, at least for me, are Dick Sprang with the huge bat on the front. Or, the Batman mask on the front of the
Yeah.
car.
Yeah, the classic one.
Yeah, that's. Other than that, the only other ones that come to mind are the movie ones.
Mine are, like I said last week, Batman animated and the Batman 66. I love that Batman 66 Batmobile.
Yeah, that was
I hate
cool.
the show, but the Batmobile's awesome.
Hey, I'm not a fan either. I only like the time they did that crossover with the Green Hornet,
Yes.
because I'm a Green Hornet fanatic, and
Yeah.
it's just one of the best ones.
Hey, you know what? The other thing, speaking of exclusives, there was recently an article where Hasbro is going to start, well, I don't know if it's going to start or they're test marketing selling the figures to direct markets like comic book stores, I
Right.
believe Amazon, where they're not going to put case packs together anymore. The comic book store wants, this article was talking about, 30 stormtroopers. They're going to get 30 stormtroopers.
Right. I think this is, has to be one of the smartest moves they're doing, because
God damn, I hope this works.
it's going to take the steam out of the scalpers big time.
Scalpers, man. Oh my God. How awesome is that?
If they stop with the case packings, buy what you want.
You know what? It circumvents what we talked about. I don't know if it was the last show or the show before. It circumvents the Targets, the Walmarts, all those big stores that don't want to carry, the smaller stuff. That DC Classics Mattel line. If Mattel would do it, they could have a line like that again. Of course, Mattel won't do it just to piss everybody off.
No, they won't.
Did you see what kind of time frame? Like, is it a definite thing? Is it something that's going to happen in the next 6 months? Did you see any of that? Are they
It
just
really,
talking about it?
it's something they're starting to put into place.
Yeah.
It's going to be take a little while to get up and
Right.
running.
Understood.
I think it's going to be one of the best things about it is now you don't have to worry about like missing parts for your build-a-figures.
Yes. Oh my God.
Nothing would, you know, unless you're buying a case.
Black Widow's for everybody.
Yes.
You know? Because you know the thing that really always drove me nuts? I'll tell a story from, God, 20 years ago. I love previews. I love the book previews. It's one of my favorite things about comic book collecting. I hardly ever order anything in it, but I love going through it. This one time, I don't think it was Mattel, it must have been Hasbro. They had the license for Superman.
Right.
They came out with new Superman figures. It was in between. There was no movies out at the time. I don't know if they called him Man of Steel. It just was a big Superman symbol on the card. Like I said, mid-90s. I wanted those figures. And the only way to order them, and I did, the only way to get them through a comic book store was to buy a case of them. You had to buy a freaking case of action figures. And I
Right.
did. I bought a case of action figures. To me, it's so ridiculous that this practice 20 years later is still in effect. So if I wanted to go to my comic book store and get a Black Widow, I would either have to, buy it marked up because they've got to make some money, because
Right.
they have to buy the case.
But the
They have
funny
to
thing
buy the
is,
case of Avengers. They can only get one Black Widow, and then of course they want to make money off of it, so they're going to mark it up.
DC Collectibles has been doing this for years. I don't collect much anymore, but I love previews. I would, see like, oh, okay, they're coming out with these five action figures. I don't want them all. I'll just take these two
Yep.
and place my order. And when they'd come in, I'd be like, cool, I got it. No markup. Or, very little of a mark, one or
Right.
$2 more than over,
They're usually like
six.
$25.
Yeah,
If they're new releases, they're usually like $25.
which is understandable and it's a
Yeah,
fair price.
that's fine.
I got no problem with that.
It's what's really cool about that is, and I've done this a couple times, that if you miss a figure, you can go back. Most of the figures, you can talk to the owner of your comic book shop, and they can probably still order that figure. If it's recent,
If
within
it's
the
recent,
last
yeah.
6 months, some of the figures do sell out, but I didn't get the Teen Titans Superman when it first came out. Guy at my shop ordered it for me. He's like, yeah, it's still available. They go online and look to see if it's available. It's still available, and he gets it for me. It's brilliant. It's about
It's
time.
Diamond has this nailed down, and so I just can't believe it took the big guys so long to do something like
But
this.
it's not just going to be comic book stores. I understand that it's open to Amazon, so you can get your figures from Amazon if you don't have a shop near you. It's direct market.
I mean, because in the past you still had to buy it.
A
Know,
case.
you had to buy a case, but even the online stores, the markup that they would put on it,
Right.
we're talking about a minimum of $5 markup.
Minimum.
Sometimes I'd see it for pre-orders, $10
This is
over
going to
suggested retail
kill.
price.
This is going to kill. It's not going to kill eBay, but it's going to kill the scalpers that sell on eBay.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's so great.
It's really going to take thunder out of it, and
Yeah.
I really think it'll work. The only problem I see is just I just know a lot of people who are really into the hunt,
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's
and
me.
yeah, I'm not into it. So for me, something like this is just perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got so tired of the hunt after. I don't know what it is around this area. I'm like 20 minutes outside New York, and
It's
I
kind
you
of
just
odd because I would think that you live in an area where you should, because you're so close to New York, you should be able to find stuff that you want.
we don't. I don't
Huh.
know what it is, and it's not just me. I've talked to other collectors, and they all feel the same about this area.
Yeah.
It's the distribution channels are
Yeah.
just so messed up. It's like the Midwest seems to get them all, then California, and then we get whatever's left behind.
It trickles this way. You know,
Very.
it's funny you say about the hunt because I purposely didn't pre-order the Legends, Guardians of the Galaxy because I don't like, first of all, I don't like doing it. I'm not a completist. I like what I like and I buy what I want to buy. I don't have to
Right.
buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I don't like to order ahead of time because if those figures look terrible, then you're stuck with six figures. I mean, you can sell them on eBay and I do that, but it's a pain in the ass. So I purposely didn't pre-order them because the hunt is fun. And well, until it's not fun anymore,
You're right.
as you, and it does become unfun after a while.
Well, for me, also, it's just like what you were saying about buying the entire case is saying, what if the main figure you want is the Build-A-Figure and there's only like out of a case, six out of the six figures that it takes to build that big Build-A-Figure, you're only interested in two.
Well, that's funny you
Then.
should say that because that's what's going on right now. I want that Groot figure from Guardians. It's the Build-A-Figure. One of the reasons that I didn't pre-order is because I don't want all those figures. I wanted Rocket and maybe Star-Lord. I don't need all the rest of them. And now I don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't feel like spending $50 million on eBay for them.
It's, I mean, but the thing about Hasbro, at least they will eventually, you might have an opportunity to get it on their own toy shop. Unlike Mattel, forget about it.
Hey, I got, it's not really switching gears, but I got one more question for you and we can wrap up. Maybe you know the answer to this. Hasbro's working with Walgreens with exclusives. They're going to have a Boba Fett exclusive and they're going to have a Venom.
Agent Venom, which
What is that all about? Do you know
I
why Walgreens?
on the Marvel side, there is a rep that works closely with Hasbro from Marvel. Great guy named Jesse Falcon. He's been doing it for years. I haven't really had a chance to ask him why they're doing it with Walgreens.
Talk to him. I'm curious.
I keep wanting to say Walmart. But
Walgreens.
I think it's an interesting, I think it's kind of interesting that
You
they're going
know,
to be the ones getting the exclusives for once.
my first feeling was that obviously they're trying to get people into the store. And I thought that maybe it was like a Christmas thing because during Christmas, Walgreens does get a bigger toy selection. However, what I read online was that these figures are going to start showing up in the stores in August, at the end of August. So it's not a Christmas thing.
No.
It's interesting. Why Walgreens? I'm puzzled. I'm puzzled.
No, I don't have an answer.
Damn. All right, that's your assignment.
I will get that answer.
We should have like on funny videos, we should have si Assignment America.
Simon
All
America.
right, Brian, you got anything else to add?
No, I think that's it for this
Covered a
week.
lot today, man. Covered a lot. I have a new show, hopefully, new internet show coming out next week. I've been working on this one for 6 weeks. Almost done. 6 freaking weeks. Other than that, you can see me at yfnjman.com and at thefanboyfactor.com. How about you, Brian? Wait a minute, Brian. Before you say anything, I mean to cut you off. Don't you have an opinion piece coming up?
I am working actually on a couple opinion pieces. I don't want to give anything away because what's the
Okay.
fun in that? Or,
All right.
but
So,
I have a couple, some suggestions,
okay.
some sarcasm.
I was looking forward to seeing it this week.
I
Awesome
am
coming up.
working on them and
Okay.
I will hopefully have them out by the end of the week.
Where will they be?
They'll be at fanboyfactor.com.
Don't say.
Yeah, I do say. Right now, you can check out all the information that is slowly starting to flood in, and emphasis on the word flood on San Diego Comic-Con,
Yep.
because I
Deluge.
don't, God, I'm not a big fan of this time of year because you should see what my
Yeah.
inbox looks like on a daily basis. But
Information overload.
yeah, we will have it up there.
All right, then. I guess until next week, I'll talk to you then.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good night, everybody.